covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Well, they can't all be classics. You know, it was a dud. It was a flat-out dud. Crummy sixth inning did the Brewers in. 8-2, the final score. The Cubs take game two of this series. It'll be a rubber match tomorrow against Brandon Woodruff and TBD, whoever the Cubs ultimately decide to throw. Welcome into Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Dominic Catronio. Yes, we're going to talk about Chad Patrick. Yes, we're going to talk about the move that wasn't. Yes, we're going to talk about the offense and the Brewers in a game that, like today, they just didn't play well. And I don't want to sit here and try to pull the wool over your eyes or anything in that regard or try to sugarcoat anything here. You didn't play well. There's only so many ways that we can say that, right? And I think that there are a multitude of ways that you can analyze, okay, was it bad at-bats? Was it the other team being a little bit better? It was a combination of a lot of things. But the biggest thing that jumps out to me about today's game, before we even talk about Chad, before we even talk about anything that went wrong in that sixth inning, was the at-bats the Cubs were taking today. It was a lot like what we saw yesterday against Jacob Mizrowski. They forced him into four walks, given he had been such a strong pitcher in that he wasn't walking guys, right? And today, they forced Kyle Harrison out after five innings, right? He was at 92 stressful pitches through five innings. They chased him out of this game early. A million foul balls to this game. And only one walk from Harrison, right? It wasn't like he was struggling with his command today. There was just foul ball after foul ball after foul ball, staying alive, some close pitches. It was a really impressive performance against Harrison, especially, of course, when they got their three hits all in that fourth inning against Kyle. And Seiya Suzuki's on another planet right now. Tip your cap to the 97-mile-an-hour fastball away that he turned and hit it opposite field over the wall and gone. I mean, tip your cap on that one. But there were still things in this game that the Brewers could have done better. But it felt like after the fifth inning and after Frelick's RBI single, it just shut down. It was an odd day. And the stat that we talked about on the television side is a reminder that if this feels like drastic, if this feels like a bigger deal than you think it is, because it is a bigger, it's bigger than you think it is. It's not as big as you think it is, because this was the first time the Brewers lost a game by more than three runs all month. It's been a month since the last time they lost a game by more than three runs. They've been in it every single game for the last 30 or so days. It's pretty impressive stuff. So it's easy to overreact and freak out. Oh, they play bad. Chad Patrick, oh my God, send him to AAA. It's like, okay, let's diagnose the problem and see what's going on. But a level set reminder here, too. Chad Patrick started the year in the opening day rotation and was demoted to the bullpen, which I know we talked a lot about how he doesn't view it as a demotion because he was walking too many guys. Well, now in this blip on the radar in the last 2 weeks, it's because he's walking too many guys. So he's fixed it before. I'm sure he can fix it again. And partially, I think, wasn't all his fault tonight. I'll explain all that with Craig Kishon in just a little bit. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. I do agree, though, that the bullpen is something we talked about in the final segment of Brewers Weekly. Something to identify. I gave you some names that the Brewers could be identifying as trade targets that aren't named Tarek Skubal. And a couple of names that I thought were interesting in there. You can go check that out, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts, or over on ESPN Milwaukee. But the Brewers today, the bullpen failed them, and now they're going to have their leverage arms ready to go tomorrow with Ashby, Uribe, and McGill for the rubber match finale against these Cubs. So let's hit a break here right off the top. We'll hear from Craig once his television duties are finished. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on as well. Also, some good news on the Garrett Mitchell front. It is just a cramp, according to manager Pat Murphy. He is expected to be fine. When he swung as the 27th bat out of the game, he swung and missed the first pitch, pinch hitting off the bench, and immediately grabbed at his left leg, and everyone's going, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. It was just a cramp. So, going to be A-OK. Sounds like bullet dodged there. No big deal. All right. Take a break. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 8-2. Tough one here tonight with Craig Kishon in just a little bit. Wow, I can see the fireworks from Summerfest from a press box view. That's pretty nice. Oh, wow. I'm distracted. Welcome back. I'm Tom Cotroneo, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one, Mitch from Kenosha, tough loss tonight, but the Cubs were bound to get a win against the Crew at some point. Harrison was great. Hopefully Garrett's okay. We just got the word on that. We'll get him tomorrow with Woody on the hill, and Doug reiterating on that as well. Good test tomorrow for Woodruff. Hopefully he does what he did last week, because 2 out of 3 is what you want. The Cubs were certainly due against the Brewers. Alex from Oshkosh, ugly loss. Good thing I went to the T-Rats game tonight. Hey, Braylon Payne hit a bomb in that one. I think he's got 15 pumps now. Good for Braylon. That's exciting. But the Brewers fall today by an 8-2 score. Now, Craig's going to join us mid-segment here, but let's just start setting the scene of what went wrong in that sixth inning after Kyle Harrison had exited the contest, right? Because the way that that inning started was exactly how it was supposed to start for Chad Patrick. He got the first two batters out, right? Now, he didn't use a ton of pitches to get Matt Shaw and Seiya Suzuki out. Like, that is his window, right? Three straight righties, yeah, a lefty in Michael Busch, and then another righty in Nico Horner. That is the window for Chad Patrick, okay? He got ahead of Matt Shaw 0-2, got him to ground out. Seiya Suzuki flied out on three pitches. Then it was 2-2 on Alex Bregman. He ultimately walked him on the eighth pitch of the battle. Bregman gave him a good battle. But then the wheels started to slowly leak off. He fell behind 3-1 on Michael Busch, got him to swing and miss on the 3-1 pitch, but then walked him. Again, this is all with two outs. So now you have runners on first and second. Pitch count is starting to really climb at this point now for Chad. He's at 24 pitches in four batters faced. Nico Horner is the batter. And on a 2-2 pitch, two strikes, again, he singles through the right side. You know what? Tip your cap. He beat his best pitch. He beat the cutter. Goes the opposite field. RBI, go-ahead single, 3-2. He is now at 29 pitches for the inning. Aaron Ashby is up and throwing. Grant Anderson is up and throwing. A switch hitter is due up in Ian Happ. Now, if you remember, of course, Chad Patrick has had a fair amount of success against Ian Happ last season in the first year seeing him. But his signature pitch is the cutter. The cutter needs to be located on the back door if you're going to throw it to Ian Happ. He missed it down the middle. That's the big mistake that Chad Patrick made, obviously. Middle cutter, did not come back. Three-run homer, and this game was history. But you could also make the argument that with Aaron Ashby ready to go in the bullpen, why didn't Pat Murphy go to Ashby to face Ian Happ and flip him to his worst side, the right side? There are two reasons for that. And I have not heard Pat Murphy's presser yet, but we will play it for you here on the program. Number one, Murph, in my opinion, if he's going to give the reasoning, didn't want to chase with Ashby, right? He's trying to pick and choose. He really only wants to use Ashby in tied games or games with the lead, right? And the fact that they just gave up the lead there, thinking, maybe I should save Ashby for later in the game, for a PCA at bat, for a Michael Busch at bat when I might need him later in this game, if Chad can just get through Ian Happ, who he's had good success against. And to reiterate the splits for for Ian Happ versus left-handed pitching, he's got a 579 OPS, a 172 batting average versus righties, that jumps by 300 points in OPS and 80 points in batting average. Okay, so again, him batting right-handed is where you want him to be. But then the Brewers were trailing. So the thought is, okay, well, why are you going to use one of your key leverage relievers when you're down 3-2 for what could be just one at-bat? And if you don't score later in this game, you've now wasted back-to-back days of Aaron Ashby. And to give you the numbers as well while we're at it here on Chad Patrick versus Ashby in the regular season, 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. So that went into the calculus too, and that doesn't even include postseason, right? Ultimately, Chad did not execute, and he gives up a 3-run homer. Now, of course, he would have been fine with a walk there, or what you could have done is say, hey, intentional walk, load the bases, you've got Grant Anderson loosening, You're already down 3-2, and you got back-to-back righties due up. They weren't going to pinch hit for Carson Kelly in the sixth inning. And Grant Anderson is much better against righties than he is against lefties. And you may be thinking, Dom, pause. I don't want Grant Anderson in this game. That's Grant's job. It would have been a one-batter appearance. Come in, get Carson Kelly, then you're done. And then you probably hand it to Aaron Ashby for a clean seventh inning, hopefully with still a 3-2 score, given he would get Dansby, PCA, and Matt Shaw. But ultimately, as Craig Kishon joins us now, ultimately, two things at play, and I know you didn't get to hear that whole conversation, Craig, that I just had talking about the Chad Patrick inning, but two things at play. Could they have gone to Ashby? Sure, but they were trailing. Could have Chad Patrick made a better pitch? Absolutely, but he was at his 30th pitch of the inning. I think there's a confluence of errors that led to a three-run bomb to put this game out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did not hear what you all said, but there's no question that that inning just escalated so quickly for Patrick. So you get those two outs, and then all of a sudden you issue one two-out walk, and then another. I mean, that just can't happen, obviously. That's just stating the obvious there. And then the big base hit, and then Hap's home run. Could not have gone in more of an oppo direction. There's no question about that. But, you know, Patrick's been doing this, and Patrick has also had some struggles here and there. And so we've seen things like this happen before. But can he handle it? Yes. Can he handle it on a consistent basis? I think that's the big question here right now. But, you know, after the game, Dom, Pat Murphy was adamant that he had 100% confidence that this guy is just having a hiccup part of the season, and he'll be able to bounce back.
Yeah, and pitchers go through slumps too, right? Just like a hitter can go through a slump, right? Bryce Strang's in a slump right now. Christian Yelich is in a slump right now. And I think there's sort of this spotlight effect, kind of this spotlight bias that when a pitcher out of the bullpen is struggling, it feels more prescient. It feels more, you know, like in your face, where it's like, well, I watched this guy come out of the bullpen, and there's this whole show and this walk up song and all this stuff, and then it's like, and then he doesn't pitch well. Well, what's the deal? Well, it's again, everyone goes through blips on the radar. And really, it goes back to that game in Vegas when he gave up the back-to-back homers, didn't retire anybody, then even the game against Philly, too. He righted the ship against Cleveland. He pitched well against Atlanta. He pitched well enough against Cincinnati. And then today, he just kind of was like, the walks. The walks are what's catching up to him right now. He now has 6 walks in his last 4 games. That spans just shy of 9 innings. So That's just not going to cut it. When you're walking guys as a reliever, that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, this rare time as well, Dom, when you look at how good the Brewer bullpen as a whole has been, when they're coming into, let's just say, a one-run game, whether the Brewers are leading or trailing, this one tied at the time. So this is rare to see somebody just blow up like this in a game that's completely up for grabs in the sixth inning. So that's what kind of kills you right there, because you're like, oh, now what do they do? Well, you can't put your frontline guys out of the bullpen in a game where they're trailing like they were at that point. I mean, it was 6-2. But we haven't seen many games, period, that have blown up on the bullpen in a tight game. I mean, that's been one of the reasons this team has the second best record in baseball right now. It's such a combination of everybody doing their jobs, and tonight it just didn't work out.
Yeah, and a reminder of how we're in this position with Chad Patrick is that the lack of a true swing and miss pitch. I mean, he's a fastball guy. It's a cutter. It's a four-seamer. It's a sinker. He has a slurve. He does not have confidence in it. He has not found a true breaking ball that can generate swings and misses, which leads to two-strike contact, which leads to nibbling on the edges, which leads to walk. So the Brewers will try to figure that out, go back to the drawing board with Chad Patrick. He is not getting optioned. The Brewers do not have enough bodies down there in AAA to call anybody else up. Chad Patrick is staying on this team. He is going to figure things out. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in 10 minutes right from home. with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Seider.com today. S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Families helping families since 1912. Back with more after this. The Brewers still only scored two runs in this game. Gotta talk about the offense on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today. There's another one tomorrow. 1:10 first pitch. We're on the air at noon. Brewers warm up with yours truly. And then the Reds come to town for a four-game NL Central series that continues. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio. You know, this looked like a good proper boxing match early in this game, and the positive was, of course, how the game started. Jackson Churio, another leadoff homer, third of his regular season career, second of this season. Him in a leadoff spot against lefties is certainly exciting, but I'm just going to lob this in your court here, Craig. Man, what if we saw Churio just leading off, period? What if he's just leading off every day, righties or lefties?
Well, I think they absolutely have to consider that for sure. I know that they like Yelich up there, but I think Churio right now is in a spot where you could easily go with the hot hitter. I mean, who's hitting better right now in this Brewer team over the course of June than Jackson Churio? So I'm not saying don't do that. I'd be in favor of doing that too. He's been aggressive. He's seeing the ball really well in the batter's box. So I definitely like that. This lineup tonight was a little bit off because Bowers wasn't in there. Christian Yelich wasn't in there. So you had a lefty pitcher in Peterson, and they just decided to mix things up a little bit here. But Churio, from that very first pitch, you thought, oh, here we go. This is going to be a big game. And then things got pretty quiet after that.
You know, when I look at what the Brewers offense did tonight, the big smoking gun to me is just there just weren't opportunities, especially after that fifth inning. I mean, the Brewers had one at-bat with a runner in scoring position all night, and they came through. Sal Frelick hitting an opposite field single in the fifth inning. That was their last hit of the whole night, and it was their last at-bat with a runner in scoring position. And it was a mixture of Peterson mixing and, you know, letting the ball be in play against him. There was some bad luck, right? Sal Frelick lined a ball that Bregman caught with a runner on. Then you had the great double play turn by Nico Hoerner and Dansby Swanson. That took some wind out of the Brewers' sails in that fifth inning. Also, a nice play in right field that, or I should say, by Michael Busch. So, I mean, I'm just like, there's a little bit of bad luck here, but this was the first game in a while that you could truly say, like, wow, the offense never really gave itself a chance.
No, and Peterson looked good. I mean, obviously, you know, if you've read up on him and followed what he's done as a New York Met in his career, he's been good. This year, he hasn't been so good, and his ERA is high despite a defense behind him that has not been strong. But, you know, part of that is now you're on a new team, and really this Cubs team is so different defensively than the Mets. I mean, the Mets are wannabes from that standpoint, but the Cubs have built themselves and developed a very nice defense, and we saw that tonight. They didn't have to make a ton of plays, but they made the plays at the right time. That double play on Pratt was really a surprise, just from Pratt's speed alone, and just how that double play was a great stop, but it had to be a lob throw from that second base position over to the bag, and I thought that was going to give Pratt enough time, but they got him by a full step, as it turned out. So they did a nice job tonight, and it was after Peterson gave up that first pitch home run to Jackson Churio. I mean, he looked like a veteran out there, and this Cubs team needs a guy like that right now. And, you know, you don't want to say it from the Brewer standpoint, but that's going to be something to reckon with here. We're going to see him and the Cubs obviously doing this before too long again.
And then the last big mistake I want to point out, now I don't know if this was going to make a massive difference in the game, But Churio losing track of where the baseball was after he stole second base in the third and then meandered off of third, and Swanson baited him and threw him out of third base. I don't know if Swanson was actually baiting him or not, but I'm not saying Bryce was definitely going to, you know, get a hit there, or I should say William was definitely going to get a hit there. But, hey, you got a man in scoring position with two outs for William Contreras, and at that point the Brewers were up 1-0. That could make things different. That's a mistake that the Brewers don't normally make. And then just kind of went quietly into the night the rest of this game once it was out of hand, and, you know, didn't really see a punch, didn't really see a fight. Council really was Council, right? He made moves when you wouldn't expect him to make moves, but it's one of those nights that I'm so easy to move on and flush this game because there's just not much to write home about from this one.
No, there wasn't, and it's almost hard to believe when you just go back in the box and you follow this game that we were, you know, 2-2 heading into the sixth inning, and then things just blew up, that 4-run 6 that the Cubs ended up having. So one of those nights, and you got to blow it off. You got to move on to the next one. And, you know, the great thing is you got Brandon Woodruff on a hill tomorrow, too. And just based on what he did in that comeback his last time out, I mean, if you're not excited to get out there tomorrow to this ball yard and you know, watch a series between really – two good teams, when it's tied at 1-1, it's up for grabs, and it should be a lot of fun for sure.
Well, we do have one other positive we haven't talked about, and that's Kyle Harrison. We'll talk about the lefty who, you know, had to battle a little bit today, but I thought he pitched pretty solid today. What do you think? As want to do buy or sell coming up next, it's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Talk about the lefty next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 8-2. Back at it tomorrow afternoon. Rubber match with the Cubs. One more segment with Craig Kishon. I'm Dominic Catronio. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. So Kyle Harrison, 5 innings, 9 strikeouts, just 1 walk, 2 runs. I mean, quite frankly, again, kind of like how we looked at some of the recent starts for maybe guys that, you know, the line is so far, you know, out of reach at times, where what Miz does on a nightly basis is just like, well, yeah, everyone can do that. Like, no, not everybody can just roll out of bed and throw six innings with 8 punch or whatever it may is. And Kyle Harrison comes here and goes, hey, guys, I can do that, too. Like, it's no big deal. Like, I can go 5 innings and get 9 strikeouts. It's fine. Like, I'm sitting here going, yes, there's a lot of foul balls. Yes, there are some long counts. I just sit here and I go, this fastball is just completely invisible to these hitters, except for Seiya Suzuki. But my goodness, I'm so impressed that Kyle continues to get sharper as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's been really something to watch. I mean, obviously, the biggest surprise, if you will. I know what the Miz is doing right now is a one-of-a-kind thing. But I think that maybe in his case, we're just enjoying the magic. I think in Kyle Harrison's case, nobody had really a big clue on what to expect out of him. But he is so quickly adjusted to what this organization wants him to do and how they've developed him. I love his pace too, Dom. I just love a guy who knows what he's doing. Give me the ball, batter look at me, and let's go. His mix of pitches is great. You just mentioned it. Just a rare one today where the second time through the order, he just had a heck of a time, and it really cost him. He ended up throwing his pitch count all the way up to 92. He's still a winner. I mean, he was still had this team in position. It was just that, the rare hiccup by the bullpen in Patrick here in this one. But Harrison he's been something to watch. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, he was at 42 pitches through 3 innings today, which isn't great if we're being honest, right? I mean, that's flirting. That's 14 pitches an inning right there, which is fine. That's perfectly fine. You would hope that maybe there's a quicker inning somewhere in there. But then the fourth and fifth innings, he needs another 50 pitches to get through those two frames, and that's facing 10 10 batters, right? Averaging 5 per plate appearance, that is not going to get you length. And again, kudos to the Cubs for making him work as hard as they did make him work. But the way I take away from this is the foul balls and the strikeouts did not deter him. And your word, the pace, is that there's a presence. There's a mound presence. And then I don't want to say intimidation. I think that's too strong of a word. But a swagger, a confidence to say, like, get in there. Let's go. Like, I want to pitch. And it's not so much like a, I'm going to strike you out. I'm going to throw this ball a million miles an hour. Like, kind of how Miz is sometimes. But this is more of a, get in there. Let's go. I want to see who wins. I think I can win. Let's go. And there's a energy from Kyle Harrison just talking to the guy, right, that gives this confidence, gives swagger, gives... You know, maybe some people would think it's cocky. It's not cocky. I think he threads that needle perfectly because he's learning his stuff plays. He's getting swings and misses against big league hitters. And quite frankly, he is second fiddle to nobody. Miz is obviously a front runner for Cy Young, but Kyle Harrison is going to be an all-star, in my opinion. This dude has been that good for the Brewers this year.
Yeah, it's been absolutely, he has been in position to gain an all-star. There's no question about that. His confidence is controlled, in my opinion. I just, you know, it's hard not to talk to him and it's hard not to listen to his interviews and not get a glimpse of Corbin Burnes out of that.
Oh,
it just
sure.
is. Corbin Burnes is one of the most confident pitchers that has come around this organization in a long time. And it's okay if they get beat, just from a standpoint of if we're competing, I'm going to beat you sometimes. I want to beat you more. But understanding that if you're throwing your best stuff, you can get beat. But you're ready to bounce right back. You're ready to want to see that batter back in that box again and beat him the next time around. The challenges, I see a little bit of cockiness in him in a good way. And I think, you know, the real great, athletes will tell you, you got to be a little bit cocky, but you got to be controlled. And I think to me, that's one of the best words I can use to describe, you know, his demeanor, his competitiveness, his physicality out there. His ability to learn things, he's just very much in control of what he wants to do. And I think this is who we're seeing here now develop.
It's almost positively delusional in a good way, where it's like, there's no way I failed. Let me make sure I continue to succeed, right? That's how the best athletes' brains work. And I know Kyle Harrison's brain works like that. If something didn't work, he goes, all right, well, I'll take this and turn it into a success to something I learned from to make sure that it's not a failure and that I move forward. And this today was far from a failure. Yeah, he only went 5 innings. But again, the pitch count got driven up. The bullpen was ready to go. The offense didn't show up either. It did not matter if Chad Patrick got out of that 6th inning. It was still a 2-2 ball game, and the Brewers didn't get another hit the rest of the game. So that's how I feel about this one. He's an easy pick for our player of the game. Well, Craig, better bring a win with you tomorrow, because after a sellout crowd once again today, they're looking for something to pop about, and Brandon Woodruff will try to provide it for them.
Well, I'm looking forward to it for sure. It's been a great series so far. Crowds have been unbelievable, and I'm sure we'll finish strong tomorrow, Dom.
No, it'll be great. Craig Kishon joining us on 620 WTMJ. We'll hear from Murph coming up next, right here on your home of the Brewers, WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Got to pay it off as well. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. You can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. This text made me laugh. There is one positive from this game. The Brewers broke PCA's streak. Yep, he had a 28-game on base streak that snapped today, going 0-5. So that's something. But let's hear from the manager. Plenty about Chad Patrick in here as the Brewers fall today 8-2.
Peterson.
Hey, how's it been?
Huh?
What'd you think of him?
What a great job. He's a pitcher. He's been around a long time. He's a pitcher. 6 great innings, 6 plus, right? He's great. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
What happened with Mitchell there again?
Cramp. Looks like he's every time.
What'd you think of Kyle tonight?
Thought he was great. I really did. Thought it was great. They did a great job of running up the pitch count. The amount of foul balls has got to be close to a record. It was amazing how they continued to hit foul balls and run the pitch count up. I thought he threw great. I mean, Suzuki hit a pitch a little bit too much on the plate. Credit to him. He's swinging the bat great. Then we didn't get it done in the middle innings, obviously. It's been, Chad Patrick's been very inconsistent. We're going to take a hard look at that. And, he's been an overachiever, and I believe in him in the biggest way, and I feel for him right now that he can't get on track. But I'm certain he'll be back, and I'm certain he'll be back in top form is what I mean. I'm certain of that.
When you say take a look at that, there are options that entail sending them down to get some confidence, backing off, trying to find spots, which is hard to do in 18 games in 17 days. there's not many things you can do if you're not in that job.
He's been so good for us. Guys, remember that. He's been so good for us, so clutch for us, that when you have hiccups, just like McGill early on, you have hiccups. You know, if you believe in the player and you believe in the stuff I saw tonight, you know, he gets two quick outs, he's got two strikes, and he loses his head a little bit. I don't think it's a matter of stuff, and I think he'll be back on it.
Are there any commonalities that you're seeing when he's having some of those lower moments in these innings?
Yeah, walks. You know, he walks people. And then he feels like he's got to throw it in the middle of the plate, or at least he's very cautious of not walking anybody else. But the walks hurt us tonight. I mean, how many scored? Three or four for sure.
Outside of your top three, Ashby, McGill, obviously committed to the job. Where do you stand just in terms of the confidence or trust you have in that second level?
Yeah.
How's they going to need him?
A game like this will. Kurt, a game like this will challenge your thinking sometimes there. But Koenig had a promising outing. Kuhl's been a tough kid that has taken the ball every time we ask. So, I think we've got some options there.
Yeah, Koenig coming back today was completely underrated. I mean, throwing 97, too. I mean, that's not something he was doing in the minor league. So that's great to see from Jared to get him back on this roster, and he will be part of that leverage bullpen once he gets his feet underneath him. Not a full highlight segment, but a couple of key moments from this game coming up next as the Brewers fall 8-2 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I tell you what, there is some energy in the ballpark today, a lot more Cubs fans tonight than there were last night, and all of a sudden, we had some dueling roars in the first inning.
10 years in the Mets organization. His first pitch as a Cub is driven out to center. Back PCA off the top of the wall. They going to call it out of here? They will. 1-0 Brewers on the bomb by Churio. Welcome to the rivalry.
First pitch as a Cub, as you heard Jeff Levering call it there. How about the list of pitchers now that Jackson Churio has hit a leadoff homer off of? Christopher Sanchez a couple of weeks ago. You also have, in the playoffs, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Last season, you have Garrett Crochet. And in the playoffs in 2024, when he was pitching very well at the time, Sean Manaea. And now you add David Peterson on that list. So pretty impressive for Jackson Churio. Brewers open the scoring 1-0. The Cubs responded with a two-run shot in the fourth by Seiya Suzuki. It was impressive. Opposite field shot. But Kyle, he was striking out, punching tickets left and right. And in the fifth inning, he ended his day in style.
Here's a 3-2. That's strike three called. 96-mile-an-hour fastball. No challenge from Crow Armstrong. And it's the ninth strikeout for Kyle Harrison.
He would end with nine. He got five innings work, but he had 92 pitches. It was a heavy day of work for Kyle. Then in the fifth inning, the bottom half of the fifth, Blake Perkins getting the start against the lefty, lines a double into right center field, and the Brewers didn't waste any time. It only took three pitches in the bottom of the fifth for them to tie this game, thanks to Sal.
Playing against a bunt, here's the pitch. Swinging away, and a base hit to left. Perkins will be sent around third. The throw will be cut off, and we're tied.
Quick send and score, Sal Frelick. Unfortunately for the Brewers, that will be their last hit of the contest. And in the sixth inning, the wheels came off as the Cubs would respond with a four-run inning, an RBI single from Nico Hoerner, then a three-run homer from Ian Happ, and then they would add a sac fly and a homer later in this contest as well in garbage time runs. But nonetheless, they still count for your baseball card. And that would be the final score, 8-2 today for the Cubs. Let's preview tomorrow's matchup after our last break here and get you ready for the rest of this homestand on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last few minutes. We got word on a starter for the Cubs tomorrow. It'll be the left-hander Ryan Rollison to start off a bullpen game for the Cubs. So he gets the nod tomorrow. Adjust your records. Get ready for it. The Brewers hand the ball to Brandon Woodruff as he continues his return. Six strong shutout innings against the Reds on Monday night. So he goes tomorrow afternoon, a 1:10 first pitch. Again, we're on the air at noon for Brewers warm-up. Then the rest of the homestand, the Reds come to town here. It'll be 6:40 on both, or on all three, I should say, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Except Wednesday is actually a 7:10 first pitch because national television. Yep, ESPN's coming to town. Yeah, I know ESPN's still doing baseball games. It's complicated. I don't want to get into all the details of the TV contract at this point. But yep, that's right. It's another national exclusive. In fact, let me get ahead of it here. This is going to be a heavy national exclusive week, so buckle up. Obviously, we had Apple TV yesterday. Wednesday is going to be ESPN. Friday is going to be Apple TV again in Arizona. Sunday is going to be Peacock, all right? And then the next Sunday is going to be Peacock. It's ridiculous. How many services do I need? I'm just kidding. But I'm not. But am I? Reminder, all that money on the national exclusives, it comes back to the Brewers' pockets to help their team. The national TV deal is one of the biggest revenue generators, not only for teams, but for the entire sport, right? This is not breaking news to anybody. Yes, it inconveniences the fan, and it's frustrating. First thing we got to do is get rid of blackouts. Second thing you got to do is consolidate the availability to these games. If I subscribe to MLB TV, I should be able to watch every single game, regardless of what service it's on, regardless if it's on Peacock, regardless if it's on Apple TV. If it's over the air, different story. Right? Over the air is free. Get an antenna on your TV, you're able to watch. And there's still some of those games coming up here down the stretch. But it's just frustrating. I hear the fans when they say it all the time. But it's the world we live in right now. And again, like the Apple TV stuff yesterday, you can easily toggle WTMJ while watching it, and you listen to your broadcasters. It's great. It's super easy to use. MLB TV has that available to you as well. But a little soapbox rant. Put that aside and move forward. Again, we do also have the rotation for the Red Series. Monday will be Robert Gasser, so the Brewers will temporarily go into a, you know, six-man rotation. Robert Gasser against Nick Lodolo on Monday. Tuesday will be Brandon Sproat and Rhett Lauder. Wednesday will be Shane Drouin and Andrew Abbott. And then Thursday, get your popcorn, Jacob Mizorowski and Chase Burns. And they've got that T-shirt giveaway they just announced to commemorate Miz's near-perfect game against the Phillies. That'll be given away on Thursday for that 1:10 start. So come by, get a shirt, watch Miz face Burns, and it's going to be a great matchup. Then the Brewers will head to the desert for a three-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then a five-games and four-day stretch against the St. Louis Cardinals with that doubleheader in two Tuesdays. And then finally, finish up the first half in Pittsburgh, leading into the All-Star break. That's your upcoming schedule, but tomorrow should be fun. Should be a rocking crowd on what was a literal perfect day for baseball. The roof was open, I imagine, same tomorrow. It's going to be nice and hot. Tailgating will be epic, in the words of Brian Anderson. And keep it clean, keep it between the mayo and the mustard. Make sure that we all have a good time and get home safely here from the ballpark tomorrow. Hope you enjoy Summerfest. Hope you enjoy everything that this wonderful city has to offer in the summertime. Our producer has been Nate Rilling tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you so much for listening. Brewers fall 8-2 to the Cubs. Back tomorrow at noon on WTMJ.